What's inspiring, creative, and colorblind? Stay tuned for today's show and find out. Welcome to Books on Air, the show that tells the story behind the book. I'm Suzanne Harris, and it's my pleasure to talk to the author about their latest project. We'll tell you where you can find them on social media, and perhaps we can even give you the opportunity to meet them. The answer to the question, what's inspiring, creative, and colorblind? Well, it's the wonderful author that I'm about to interview today. We're going to talk about the Colorblind series, and we're specifically featuring the book, Think Folks Are Too Light? Think Again. Is White Too White? Lupita Samuels has a background in bilingual special education and a great deal of experience working for the Department of Education. She brings a really unique and interesting perspective to a really important topic. Welcome, Lupita. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate being on the show with you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I know I've written myself that writing a book, just one book, is no small task, let alone writing four books. Was there a person or an event that inspired you to write these books now at this particular time?
Well, yes, Suzanne. The fact that in this world, color seems to be like a major social issue. People of dark skin tend to bleach up to get lighter. And then I noticed the other side of it. Beautiful white people, I've seen them baking in the sun trying to get a tan. I've seen them, you know, I remember watching this show, and this lady of white complexion, she was going to the saloon. It was on the news. She was living in these tan saloons, and not only that, she was taking a little girl with her, you know, and having this child underage, you know, to be subjected to this artificial lighting to tan up. And I'm like, why? Why do you need to do that? If there's a white dog, there's a white person, so why the dog does not need to change? So why does a white human being have to change color? Why do they have to be tanned? I never understood that.
I love the chapter titles in this book. I'm going to read some of them. White baby dogs, babies of white complexion, white bears, boys of white complexion, white birds, girls of white complexion, white horses, men of white complexion, white cats, and women of white complexion. The thing that struck me so much when I started to look at your books and when I read the list of chapters was how observant you are as a person. You have looked at something that all of us have looked at probably a million times. You've looked at animals. It never occurred to me to think about the color of animals making any difference at all, and yet you're absolutely right. What you just said about the color of human beings, it seems to make a huge difference. I'm so impressed that you are so observant. How did you do that?
Divine inspiration, Susan. Divine inspiration. I think it's time for us to stop. I think God created color diversity as my pastor Elsa says, it was created to decorate planet Earth. Color diversity was created to decorate planet Earth. It was not created to divide us. So I think these books are written to unify us, to break that wall of division, that color wall of division that separates us. My books are intended to break it down and to unify humanity. And if we can be unified, we can end all that discrimination, dissing each other, putting on another, and realize that we're no different from the four-footed mammals in that regard.
I just thought that was so very clever of you to see, because I've never thought about that. I see people walking their dogs, and, you know, the dog may register, but I don't think, oh dear, they're walking a brown dog. I don't think about that. I think that's that's just not something that comes into my head. And yet, you're right. Color, race is such a big deal. We need to come together. And mm-hmm. I think your books, your ideas in your books are a really great way to do that. And I love the chapters. I love the fact that you've done an animal example, and then you've done a human example, and then an animal example, and a human example.
Exactly, to compare. And so people can see the comparison. And maybe that will click and say, wait a minute, not a big deal.
Now, I know that there are some tests out there that are given to some children, and that they ask them to make observations about dolls. There's a doll test. Is that right?
Yes, the doll test. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, that social experiment is an experiment that was done first in the 40s, but it's been ongoing. And the result of the test is, first of all, they have a black doll or a brown doll, and they have a white doll. And they would ask kids of different colors to evaluate this doll. They'll ask them, like, which doll is the good doll? Which doll is the ugly doll? Which doll is the pretty doll? Which doll is the smart doll? Amazingly, both the children of color and the white children thought that the white dolls were the good dolls, the pretty ones, the smart ones.
Amazing.
Imagine that the black children thought the same thing. So they have that in common. All the children felt that way. So my question is, and I thought about it, what does that do to a child who thinks that he's not valuable, that he's not the smart one, not the good one? How does that play out as a child develops into adulthood with that subconscious idea in the heart? How does that play out?
And is it something that they carry with them for the rest of their lives, that stereotype?
It's never resolved. It's never resolved. And in most cases, it's unresolved.
Now,
go ahead, Susan.
I was going to say the books all carry an educational component that really is designed to address this idea. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, yes. We have a series of questions that has six puppies of all colors, and we do ask the kids, we do not the doll test, but the dog test. And the kids are asked the same things, like, let me read these questions to you. Which color pet do you think God likes best? Explain why or not. Pretend these pets are humans. Which one do you think is the better person? Which color pet do you think is the smarter pet? Which color pet do you think is the cutest pet? Which color pet do you think is the ugliest pet? Which pet coloring is similar to your complexion, so they can make a text-to-self connection?
Right.
Art to world.
You know, to
and
me...
This will get them to reflect and say, wait a minute. Look, this puppy looks like me. If the child is white, there's a white puppy, the child can say, wow, I'm similar to this puppy here. If the child is brown, they can say, ooh, I'm similar to this puppy, you know. So we have the puppies of different colors, so most people can connect.
I think that's really so valuable, because you're getting them to do transfer of learning theory into real life.
Exactly.
Theory's fine, but if I can't put it into my real life, then it doesn't mean anything for me. If I'm anybody,
exactly.
and you're talking about puppies, then all of a sudden I can identify with it because I have a dog at home.
Exactly. And I see that most children and most people in America, England, all of it, they love dogs. They don't care what color it is. They just love dogs. And if we can love dogs of all colors, we're capable of loving people of all color. We have the capability to do so. That same capability we use to love dogs of all colors, we can use it. As you say before, transfer, we can transfer that capacity, that acceptation to our own species.
Now, I know there's also a reflection section in each book. What kind of questions or what kind of activities are there to get the kids or even adults? I mean, I can see these books translating into all kinds of different situations. What kind of questions are there to get me to internalize these ideas?
The questions are higher order thinking skills to provoke higher order thinking, and also to make text to self connection and text to world connection. You know, and the thing is that, for example, there's a question here that says, before reading this book, how did you perceive varying tones of white complexion for people? After reading this book, how do you perceive varying tones of white complexion for people? So there's a before and after, because we're hoping that after reading the book, there'll be a new perspective.
A shift.
A shift of paradigm, a paradigm shift, definitely.
Yeah.
So the questions are designed to steer that shift.
And so what you're trying to do is create that growth mindset in the individual.
Exactly. Exactly. And we even do like a little bit of literature expansion, like draw and paste two living things. Not in this book. So the kid has to think about other animals he has seen. Other people, you know, draw and paste two white living things, not in this book. So we even try to expand it a little bit beyond, you know, literature expansion a little bit.
These are such great ideas. I mean, I can see this book clubs taking hold of these books and going through and doing comparison and contrasts and talking about, you know, how things work and making people think. If you can get the conversation started, and I think what you've done is a really good job of kicking that conversational ball down the hill and getting it started gently. Because the idea of animals is something that everyone can identify with. And you don't just use dogs. You use cats. You use horses. You use, I loved the bears. And as I was, I did, I love that. And what it did for me, or what happened in my head, as I would read through the chapter titles, the images of animals or people would come into my mind. And so that's got to be something that would happen to other people as well. So they would see those images and they would all intermix and intermingle.
You know, I'm glad you said that because, for example, with the books that we talked about earlier, the Black Book and the Brown Book, I'm hoping that this, remember the doll test we talked about that? This subliminal concept that dark skin is bad and ugly and not good. I think it might pop up subconsciously when a policeman might have to encounter a child of color, and it'll be because it, subliminally this is not a good person. It's not hard for me to take him out. It's not worth much. And I'm hoping that maybe when that policeman lifts that gun to take on that black kid or that brown kid, he'll see a brown dog instead.
Oh, I love it.
That dog would come in mind, and maybe he'll hold his fire.
I love it. Now, I know that our listeners are on the edge of their seats because you've made this so exciting. And I know that they're all thinking to themselves, where can I get these books? The easy place, there are a couple of easy places. I always go to Amazon before I do any interview just to make sure that everything is there. And all they have
to do... They're there on Amazon.
They are right there on Amazon. All they have to do is put in www.amazon.com and click on it, and they go right to the website, and here's what they put in to the search feature. Think folks are too light? ? Think again, : is white too white? ? By Lupita, Lupita Samuels, Samuels. All you have to do, put that in the book search feature, click on it, and all four will come up. Now, I noticed when I looked at the four books, each one of the four books has a slightly different rainbow cover. Tell me about that.
Yes, the rainbow is just to say that biodiversity. We are a rainbow of colors.
I love that.
That decorate planet Earth.
I love that.
We are. We're a human rainbow.
We are. We really are. I love that.
Exactly.
Now, you've got an exciting event coming up very quickly. You're going to be featured, and all four books are going to be featured at a big book expo, Book Expo America, that's going to be held in New York City at the end of May.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it begins on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
And you're going to be there. So if some of our listeners just happen to be in New York City, then they can pop by and see you at the Lit Fire booth. Is that right?
Yes, I think it's booth 229.
If they want to get more information about the expo, it's going to be at the Javits Center. And they'll go to the Book Expo America website, there'll be a layout of the booths, and there'll be information about the hours and et cetera, et cetera. So I think that would be wonderful if some of our listeners came down and met you. I think it would be very exciting.
I'll be honored. I'll be totally honored to meet them.
Are you doing any social media? Do you have a website?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have a website, and it's Lupita, Lupita Samuels, together, .com. Very simple. And if you go on Google and put my name in, Lupita Samuels, it will automatically pop up. And you'll also see the cover of the new upcoming book coming out soon.
Tell us about that new project.
That book is called The Origin. It's a mythology, and it's called The Origin of Hair Diversity. Uncover your heritage. Heritage spelled with H-A-I-R. Heritage.
A play on words.
Yes.
I love it. Now,
Lupita, as you know, hair is another big social aspect.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. I have one last question for you. When our listeners have picked up a copy of the book and they've read it, from cover to cover, they've read the activities, they've read the reflection section, and they close the cover for perhaps not the last time, but the last time today. What do you want them to take away? What's the one thought that you want them to leave with?
Yeah, I want them to see others as God sees them, and see themselves as God sees them.
I think that's wonderful.
We're all created by God to decorate this planet. And he did not want one color of cat, or one color dog, or one color bird. He wanted biodiversity, and we're part of that. And if we can see that, we're good to go.
I really like the image of decorate the earth. I think that's very powerful, and I think it just falls so in line with what all of the message is from all of the four books. Lupita, you are delightful, and I want to thank you so much for being our guest today on Books on Air.
Thank you, Susan. You're easy to talk to.
Thank you.
You make it easy, Suzanne.
Thank you so much. Samuel Johnson once said, "A writer begins a book, but a reader finishes it." I think that applies so very much to the books that we've been talking about today.
That quote, love it.
I hope our listeners will join me next time for Books on Air. And until then, buy a book, read a book, and share a book. Thank you so much for listening.